Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God, we're live. Hi. How you doing? It's Forbidden America is back on the air, and I have an elite group of people in my Facebook Live window that has been sitting with me in the pre-show because they're awesome. And my good advisor, Barb, has showed up. Don't fuck with Barb, because she'll cut you. All right. She is the only person I know, actually, who has met the emperor before he was an emperor. She met him in, I think, the 80s. She could clue me in more on that. And they're telling jokes in the studio. She met him in the 80s, and she told me the story. And let me tell you, the story she told, totally believable, because it's, I totally believe what she told me because of what it was she said and the context in which it was told and my observations of this rancid bag of ricotta over the past few years on television mainly. And then as all of these outrageous things started coming to light, video, audio, you know, it doesn't need to be a conspiracy theory because it was right in front of us. And you take that and you plug that known data, that known information into her story of personally dealing with him 30 years ago, some odd, or give or take. And it's like, oh yeah, this is totally fits into, she had a public sector job. And he thought he could just walk into an area and take over, especially if women were in charge of certain things. He could just take right over. She had some things to say about his personal hygiene because he got real close. He didn't have any boundaries. He just thought he could just bowl right in and just do whatever he wanted and get way too close, very inappropriately. And how he would behave in business meetings that were high roller business meetings with very large municipalities, very large, and how he just would just not pay attention until it was time for him to get his way. And he wouldn't make his decisions based on any of the information that people, very, very capable people, had drawn up all this data and analysis and so forth, because this was no small potatoes. Things had to be built, things had to be cleared, things had to be a lot of logistics. He didn't care. He just wanted to get his way. He didn't care about the details. And he didn't even pay attention to the meetings. And that's what we're getting now. Wow. I mean, there's a lot more to that story that she could fill you in on. And I have interviewed her several times. And it never gets old. Because I'm an irreverent son of a bitch. And every time she gives me more logs to put on the fire, I'm stoking that motherfucker. So, anyway, just so you know, I can take calls on this show, but I'm not going to because I have 30 minutes. I used to do a 2-hour show, but I had to pay for that. I don't want to pay for it anymore, considering I don't work. So, I do 30 minutes because it's free, and because I only have 30 minutes, I don't take calls because it eats up half the time, unless the call is really good, like it's somebody that everybody wants to hear from, then I'll do it. But other than that, no, I won't do it. So every now and then, somebody just plink-a-dink something into the chat room there, if you would, please, to let me know that you can still hear me and everything's good. So forth, that would be great if you could do that. Let me see if I have a chat room on the other side. I do not, and that's no surprise. I'm sorry about these little sounds where I click the mouse pad. I know you can hear that. Tough shit, because I can't fix that right now. But yeah, so he gave a speech tonight, the emperor, with no friggin' clothes on. And if you don't know classical literature, then you don't know what that means. I'm sorry for you. It was 8 minutes. And as I said in the pre-show, From what I hear, that's about as long as he's lasted in anything. And basically, the whole speech, the entire speech, can just be summed up with, be afraid of brown people, especially if they come from south of the border, because they are all of our problems. In the 1920s, there was a man who was patently insane, who inflated his war career record, who was what they call a demagogue. A demagogue is somebody who likes to get up on the soapbox and rant and rave and get people whipped into a frenzy about something because that's what he likes to do. And I think you know who I'm talking about. He's in Europe. And he picked one group of people that he saw as the problem, that were ethnically different enough from most of his core audience to make it easy to dehumanize them and make them, oh, they're the problem. They are why we have a shitty economy. They are why there's this. They are why there's that. Oh, there's a tuberculosis outbreak. Oh, it's their fault. They brought it in. They did this. They did that. They cost us money. They're interbreeding with our sons and daughters. La, 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 la. They suck. And everything became their fault because he said so. And demagogues are good at whipping people into a frenzy. We all know where that went. You know, in the words of Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine and The Ghost of Tom Joad, which is a song that they did, which I highly recommend you look up on YouTube. You know, Tom Joad was, you know, Rapes of Wrath, Henry Fonda, all that shit, which was about abject poverty in the United States and how there was this huge dichotomy and a wide gulf, no middle class, ultra wealthy. Fuck everybody else. Ring a bell? Does it ring a bell? And it's called The Ghost of Tom Joad, right? And there's a line in there, ain't nobody fooling nobody as to where it goes. If you follow the chain of causality, if you do this, what's going to happen? Well, probably this or that. Okay, so if it's one of those two things, what's going to happen? Oh, well, then it goes like this. Okay, and what do we know about human nature? Okay, well, that means this is going to happen. Okay, so let's just keep following it to where it goes. Where does this fucking go? You want me to tell you where it goes? And if it's unchecked and nobody does a damn thing, it ends up in civil war. It ends up in I'm checking my screen, sorry. In a vacuum government, because you dismantle the government that's thriving and that runs on checks and balances, and that if there's an executive sector, we have an executive branch to our government, but I'm not using those terms. If there's an executive sector or a leadership sector to this particular style of government, and they recognize that the people must be thriving, right? They must be healthy. They must be happy. You know, they must want to live there. They must be happy because they can contribute to the economy. Their day is worthwhile. They are contributing. They work. What is it that they do? Well, this guy makes shoes, best shoes you've ever seen. Right. He loves it. And what does she do? Well, she does, you know, this artwork, or she does massage therapy, or she does whatever it is she does, and she's good at it, and people come to her. Awesome. Right. Whatever fulfills these people is what they do. It contributes to the economy. That's how it's supposed to work. And they get a livable wage, right? That's how it's supposed to be. Under Eisenhower, right, it was a simpler time when, you know, and I'm being caustic, I'm a son of a bitch, so just put your seatbelt on, and if it's too much for you, leave. You know, black people knew their place. Brown people certainly knew their place. And it was white people heaven, right? But one thing we did right was we taxed the wealthy at a very high rate. We had trade unions, labor unions, a lot of them. That were a lot of people bled and died for creating them. but they were strong. And there were some abuses with that, but on the whole, there weren't. And so we had a high tax rate on the wealthy. We had strong labor unions, and the economy was the envy of the world. We manufactured everything. People were buying our stuff all over the world until they weren't. When Reagan came into power, and I know everybody thinks he's the second Jesus, right? But come on, when he came into power, him and his cronies, like Bush one, who was his you know, vice president, and all these fuckers, right?
David Gergen
and all those, you know, just do a little digging. You'll know, you'll start picking up these names. You know, there was like an interior, Secretary of the Interior, James Watt, horror show, just like the Secretary of the Interior that we have now, maybe worse. And these people started tearing apart the fabric of what it was that made us truly great. They started to tear apart journalism. Well, that's gone now. It's just entertainment. There's no actual journalism left because they won't put the money into real journalism because it costs fucking money to put journalists into the field. Nobody does it anymore. They just sit on their computers. Well, what did those guys write? And then they steal it. You know, I could go on, and I often do. And then you have, right, journalism in the shit can. Forget it. And then you have... Oh, yeah. Thank you, Barb. And then you have, you know, the economy. Well, they tore apart the labor unions, right? Please. And I'm a tech guy. I used to be law enforcement and personal security tech, all that kind of stuff. And now I'm just a tech guy for the most part. And I worked forever in the gig economy where you work as a freelancer. And these companies specialize in that. And they'll say, oh, we have this whole bevy of technicians that are members of our blah, blah, blah. And we can give you this and this and this services. And they charge, and I'm going to make up stupid numbers that don't mean anything. They'll charge $50 an hour to do a thing. They'll pay me maybe 10. Okay. Like if they say, oh, we want you to go here, and wherever here is, that's 150 miles away. Drive there in a place where it's often winter, and it was. This is one example. And do this job. That job could take hours. It depends on what you find when you get there. And then drive back. $60. To which I responded, an hour. No, $60. You want me to drive 300 miles round trip through shit winter weather in the mountains and do a job that might take me 3-4 hours, and you want to pay me $60. That, folks, is the new gig economy. Freelancers working for dirt because some fucker will take that job. Oh, I'm only about 90 miles from there. I'll go do it. He doesn't know what he's doing, but he'll take the job. He'll put in the invoice. He'll get paid, and somebody will come in behind him to have to do it right. And that's usually me. But then you have to negotiate the shit out of him to get him to pay you anything decent, which it still isn't decent, and so on and so forth. The gig economy. So once we killed the unions, that became the new reality. Okay, our manufacturing went out of the country. Shoes, gone. You know, one thing after another, gone. Textiles, gone. Everything went to the Pacific Rim. Everything went to Central Europe. It's gone. Because they'll do it cheaper. You know, we have reports that were in the 80s and 90s, there were reports of South America where they would have people working in a factory. They call it a factory. It was just basically a building that they converted into some place where they could make whatever it is they were supposed to be making. And they would work people there like all day. And by all day, I mean, you know, 18, 20 hours. They would padlock the doors closed. You're staying here. And then they would let them out. And they'd work them for, you know, $20 a day. Really? It's $1 an hour. Because the only job they could get, because that's all there was where they lived. They would train them to do one thing. They didn't need to know all the stuff behind it. They just need to know, this is what we want you to do. And they would do that all day long and make a killing. Because you know they're invoicing at the rate that they would have paid the people here, but they're not paying those people there. Had they done that, we might have stimulated their economy. Who knows what would have happened? But they weren't fair. They knew that they could be unscrupulous, basically have slaves, and make super profits. So that's where that's what's developing here. I see it every day. I look at the labor force on the street every day, and I talk to people that make beds and that sweep floors and that work retail. And the majority of them are working for dirt. They don't have enough hours. They're all on SNAP, you know, the food stamp program. They're all on subsidized this or that because they can't afford to live. So when the emperor says, how many minutes I got left on the main show? 13 minutes. When the emperor says, oh, it's all the brown people. They're bringing it all in. It's all them. He has removed almost all of the State Department personnel. There are no personnel in the field anymore of any substance at all. And I know because I've spoken with a couple of them. I've spoken with Foreign Service agents, and I've spoken with consular people. Yes, I know some of those people. And they're like, there's nobody out there. There's nobody to come talk to if you want to talk to the United States. Because he thinks it only has to be him. Because he's the emperor. This is the kind of shit Caligula did. Look him up if you don't know who he is. And I found it interesting, by the way, and I really need to bring this up. Because I'm a fucker. That there was a fire on a private island that destroyed a part of this compound, not just a mansion, but a whole compound. It destroyed a part of it. Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein. It's probably Epstein. Who's in federal prison. Who is a billionaire. If a billionaire is in federal prison, he had to fuck up hardcore. Because they don't put billionaires in jail. They don't. Because you can get as much justice in this country as you can afford. And I worked in the prison system, on the inside, and I can tell you that for a fact. So he's in jail because he's such an egregious, horrendous pedophile that the tenor and timbre of his crimes is so horrible, they locked him up as a billionaire. He had to really be something horrible. He doesn't deny any of it because he doesn't think he has a problem. I suppose he doesn't, but his victims sure as fuck did. And he used to, David Geffen style living, right? Private island, big palatial estate, breeze through, palm trees, you know, all the fucking shit. Private plane, blah, blah, blah. Money's no object. James Bond type shit. And he'd have all these 13, 14, and 15-year-old girls running around, naked, half-naked, whatever. Because that was what he was into. I want to find the document. But there was information that reached me that there was an individual, that's all I'm going to say, that he assisted this individual, this Epstein, apparently made a statement, that he assisted this individual in the rape of a 13-year-old girl. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Some people continue to do whatever the fuck they want because they figure that's the way it's always been. And I don't have to answer for shit because I'm me. If a politician is impeached, which means taken to court. Impeachment means sue me, take to court. When you're a politician and get sued, it's what it's called, impeachment. And he's found guilty of whatever it is he was impeached for, right? Then he's removed from office, he or she is removed from office. That's what conviction on impeachment entails. You're either fit to be there or you're not. Apparently, there are 19 things that he could be impeached on, this individual. If he's successfully impeached on any of them, he's done. Depending on the type of impeachment, his removal could also mean the removal of his next in charge and his cabinet. The vacate of the entire executive branch. Okay. That's a precedent because since it's never been done, we don't know what the next step is. Does it mean the person that ran against him is installed? Does it mean that the Congress appoints like they did when President Nixon resigned? And they appointed Gerald Ford to be the interim president, and then he ran on re-election, and he got re-elected. 8 minutes left. And he ran on re-election, got re-elected, but he got in because Congress said, you're it. You're the president now. Go do your shit. Because the president just resigned, and Agnew had already resigned ahead of him because he didn't want to get indicted. And as it turns out, they didn't. Okay. There's some speculation that Gerald Ford was given that appointment because of the work he did on the Warren Commission. You know, the magic bullet, one shooter, blah, blah, blah. Lots of smoke, lots of fire. And he's like, oh, no, this was simple. Carcano rifle, you know, he shot this many times from the book repository. Or as they say up in Aroostook County, Maine, the suppository. Long story. You know, who knows if that was true. But then we'd have, you know, the impeachment has to precede indictments. There's 256 indictments waiting for him. Are you kidding me? There's civil cases waiting, you know, people that say that he was sexually inappropriate or outright raped them, that are suing him civilly because they don't think they'll get anywhere in criminal court. So on and so forth. This is going to get ugly no matter what. And it's the 8 minutes that he did tonight is the next step in totalitarianism. Let's pick a people that can't defend themselves and have zero political clout. Brown people south of the border. And blame them for everything. They're the reason we have all these fucking problems. That's it. And we need to get rid of the ones we have now. Back in the day, they did get rid of them. And there were pits full of remains that can prove how they did it. 6 minutes left. That's where it eventually goes if it's unchecked. Right? Giant pits full of dead people. Fill it in. That's where it goes if it's unchecked. Or you just keep building concentration camps like they're doing now with children in them. It's a camp because eventually it'll get dismantled. And there's children in there. They're concentrated in one area. That's what that means. A concentration camp. Sleep on a concrete floor underneath a tinfoil blanket because they're easy to throw away and they're easy to hose down. That's why they're those type of blankets. They don't want all the, you know, cloth blankets and soft bedding because kids piss on that. It's just hard to clean. They don't want to clean it. If you ever go inside of a jail and take a look at what people sleep on in there, they're very, very thick plastic, not comfortable. Better than concrete, but not by much. It's so you can hose them off. And the way they're stitched by machine is that so that they're, you know, they'll repel water. Because they don't want to clean them. They just want to hose them off, get them with a Clorox rag, and be done. And that's where these kids are. They're on concrete. And they don't get to go anywhere. Oh, no, we have a school for them. And there's, you know, we have medical there, and we have this and that, and they got TV. You know, it's like summer camp. That's what's been said by people in the Congress that have no clue. 4 minutes left. And okay, show me some footage of a summer camp anywhere in the country. The ones in New England I can show you. You know, archery, canoeing, you know, singing songs, going for hikes, whatever the fuck they do. You know what they do. Then go to this place. Fucking summer camp. They're manhandled. They're yelled at in a language that they don't understand. They've been ripped away from the only family they know. They're with people they don't know. The other kids, they don't know them. The Americans, you know, and you would think they would only pick people that spoke Spanish. Not true. They don't know them. They don't know what the fuck's going on. What did I do wrong? They don't know. And yet they're mistreated. We have verified reports. Verified kickings, beatings, sexual impropriety with these kids. They're the problem, though. Those kids are the problem. Well, their parents shouldn't have brought them if they didn't want to have this happen to them. Those parents are running from drug gangs and warlords and horrific destitution that we created. Just like the people over in the Middle East are flooding into Europe. The people in Africa are flooding into Europe because of fucking military shit that we paid for or we did directly. Our planes, our bombs. Our planes, our bombs. It was either our pilots or the pilots of some country that we sold that fucking shit to. Bombed the living fucking shit out of these people over and over and over again. They got nowhere to live. They're running for their lives. So by the hundreds of thousands, they're streaming to someplace they think is safer. Anywhere but there. Fucking people are all terrorists and they're all coming. They're coming. Nobody will take them in. Nobody. They're in literally in the street in a country they've never been in. They don't speak the lingo. Finally, Angela Merkel sends trains all the way to where they are. Load them. German troops come. Partially to tell them to get on, partially to protect them. Loads them on trains, takes them to Germany, and now she's screwed. 2 minutes left. Because where do you put all these people? Well, she didn't. That wasn't her problem at the moment. Her problem was, what the fuck, everybody? Nobody's taking these people in? And she took them to Germany to try to do something. And then when you end up in a country where you don't speak their lingo, they don't speak your lingo. Oh, apparently I was wrong. It's 90 seconds now. And you have nowhere to live. And so you're outside and you're making our city look like shit. You know, goddamn people. Well, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are taking a dump on the street. Yeah, they don't have anywhere to go. Yeah, they are panhandling and maybe committing crimes because they're fucking hungry. We did that. We ain't doing a fucking thing about it. Not a thing about it. My show, my main show ends in 60 seconds. So listen, I want you to know that I'm going to do more of these. I want you to give me some feedback on Facebook, some feedback maybe even on Blog Talk Radio. There's a link there. You'll find it as to what you think of this and some of the things you might want to hear about from me. And maybe I'll do a longer format. Who knows? But I thank you for coming. And I'll see you next time. Maybe I'll have a backdrop. And we'll do it again. Maybe I'll have somebody call in and be my guest. And you can tell really horrible stories about horrible people. Thank you for coming, and I'll see you next time. This is Forbidden America signing off. Until next time.